Welcome to the original Freemasons podcast, broadcasting from Waterbury, Connecticut, USA. Follow us on your favorite podcast app or join us live on YouTube. And as always, leave your aprons at the door, my brothers. A hungry heart keeps me going strong. It gives me strength when things are going all wrong. All my life, I've been searching for the sun. Now I can see.
Hola, again, from a long time ago.
Yeah, it's been a minute. Sorry, guys.
Friggin' minute. So, we'll go into that momentarily, but anyway. Hello, and welcome to the Freemasons Podcast with your hosts, Right Worshipful Brother George Mudry.
And Worshipful Brother Ken.
So, let's get into this little debacle of bullshit that happened to our podcast. So, we used to use Anchor, and then Anchor became Spotify, because Spotify bought Anchor. And we were used to be able to upload it a certain way. Correct, Ken?
Correct.
And then shit hit the fan when Spotify decided to squash the old way and has yet to tell us how to upload to Apple. So that is why we are completely fucked 8 weeks from Sunday. We couldn't figure out how to bring the live to Apple and get out the RSS feed or RSS.
RSS is correct.
All right. And, yeah, it was a big, giant clusterfuck. So, we're going live now. I don't know when this is going to be uploaded to Apple. However, if you got buddies who listen to it, please tell them to go over to YouTube where they can actually hear that we're still actually alive and there is no need to put out an APB for the three of us.
No, we are still alive. We don't have
Maybe one.
Yeah, well, Joe's not here. But we don't. They don't sponsor our podcast anymore, right, Anchor? Because you were doing commercials for a while? Okay, because seriously,
Negatory.
F them. Yeah, so we will get...
Stick their $15 straight up their fucking ass. Yeah.
We will get this figured out.
Apologies for the
swears. We swear. It's been a gigantic pain in the butt, and I should be able to figure this stuff out, but they literally changed everything. I don't even want to go into it, how angry it makes me.
Extremely.
So we may be switching podcast hosting platforms. Correct. But it'll still be available all of the normal places that you go and find your podcast.
There's actually RSS.com. There's Podbean. There's a bunch of them. So Spotify, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, I've found other platforms. And we actually use a different one at work.
How's your vision, Ken? Because I see Worship Brother Joe Schultz wrote.
I can zoom in. You ready?
It's
watch this.
George and boop, boop. The
AI chatbot. Seriously. Thanks, Joe.
So anyway, this we're going to go through some likes and shit that's on Instagram. We're going to go a couple Apple reviews. I actually went on Chartable this time. So you people from across the pond and... Would you meet you people? No.
Yeah, we see you.
You guys from across the pond and up north of us where the United States just, I don't know, refuses to allow us to see your 5-star reviews. I am also going to be reading aloud on the podcast.
My gosh.
I apologize that when I go into my Apple app, it doesn't show me from like Canada and all over the place.
Yeah, it's very region specific, which is kind of annoying.
So I'm going to read
Chartable will do it.
I'm going to read them as this show. Anyway, Ken, why don't you start the fire?
Okay. Billy so Joel. Over on Instagram, we've got, as you might imagine, a whole lot of new followers. We've got Frankenstang. That's cool. Arlington Heights Lodge number 11. Thank you, brothers, for following us. Randy Wark, author J.P. Hugo Vargas, Alex Dart, Nate Apathy. Hey, Apathy.
Hi, Apathy.
Mark Gonyea, Macons ES. I don't know what that is, but they're Masons because they got the square and compasses as their profile picture. Nathan Edwards, Scotty Chapman, Masonic Iron by brother Jerry Bortzel. Bortzel.
Sure.
We'll go with that.
Better than I go.
Them Odd Gatek. Brandon Coleman. Robert Namias, what's up, brother?
Who's that?
He is our associate grand almoner for District 3.
Okay.
He took over for me. He's a great brother from Seneca Lodge up north.
Nice.
Torrington.
What's up, brother?
Pinky Stegall. Marcheo Pino III. After Lodge Jamie. Awesome. Renee Santiago and Carlina. Thank you, brothers and friends, for following us. Appreciate that.
I apologize for that sneeze. That was freaking...
Yeah.
I turned away from the mic. Hopefully.
We'll get that in post-production. Oh.
Will we? Well, I think
I mean, I never do. I say that, but I never do.
This is live, man. There's nothing uncut
yeah,
here.
Yeah, no, we don't edit
do
our
that
podcasts.
Shit. Who cuts their podcasts?
Professionals. we are not.
Negative.
Nope.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to go back as far as I possibly can here. Mm-hmm. I don't know how far back I'm going to go, but I'm going to try here. How about we start with... let's go. We're doing Apple reviews here. Do we want to do 2013?
Yeah.
1/15 2023.
Oh, 2023?
What did I say? 2013?
I mean, if you start reading it and I remember it, then I will stop you.
So this is a New Journey 5-star review. This comes from P4BLO86. And he's from Great Britain.
Right.
He says, so I stumbled across the guys a while back watching a documentary on the History Channel. At that, we're on the History Channel? No, I think he just means Masons.
Yeah, I think he's talking about Masons in general.
They'd be awesome. They put me on the History Channel. They're definitely going to be rated MA for
and
mature.
And we didn't know about it. That would be pretty cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
At that point, I never knew just how it would change my life. I researched and met people and petitioned a lodge, which I am now about to become an MM in, and the guys on the podcast have been with me every step of the way. Funny, serious, informative, and informative? Is that a word?
Informatable? No, it's not.
Informational.
Informational, yeah, that
I
is
can't.
A word.
Holy word flubble.
Yeah, it's
wow.
been a minute since George
informational. It's not his fault he can't read. And everything else in between. I can't thank you guys enough for the work they put into the show. Keep up the fantastic work, brothers. Why? Seriously, Jesus Christ.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate that.
One rough day at work and all hell breaks loose.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see here. Let's go to... Oh, Canada. Great podcast. 5-star review. I am an MM in Kamloops, British Columbia, Canada.
Hmm.
Mount St. Paul Lodge 109 of the Grand Lodge of British Columbia and Yukon. I'm slowly making my way through the episodes from the beginning. Sorry, I got to click into it. Listening has kept my interest piqued in the craft and boosted my desire of more light. Awesome. This especially through COVID. Great work, you guys. Good day, eh, from Canada. Good.
Really appreciate that. Thank
day.
You, bro.
All right, let's go to the UK yet again.
Ooh.
All right. Great listen. 5-star review. This is from Big Chris 67. As a Freemason from South Wales in the UK, I'm always on the lookout for great Masonic podcasts. The Freemason podcast is definitely the one of the best out there, with engaging hosts who balance serious discussions with lighthearted banter. Is it lighthearted?
Well, it's highly inappropriate.
Kind of take a shit on one another most of the time.
Yeah, and there's the swearing.
It's always been entertaining to listen. It's also meaningful to me that my father is the worshipful master of our lodge, so I appreciate the sense of community that the Freemasons podcast helps to foster. Overall, I can't recommend this podcast highly enough to any Freemason looking to deepen their understanding of the craft and stay connected to the wider Masonic community.
Nice.
Brother Chris, the 6'7" big friendly Mason. In the fuck?
I mean, I only know a couple guys that are 6'7". One of them is Brother Kevin, who was like Pisani's bodyguard that one day.
Yes, I remember.
Yeah, actually, we've got, I think his cousin's a member of the lodge now.
Taller.
No, he's the same size.
Thank God.
Now, we got some big dudes in this lodge right now.
Shit.
Yeah. It's a little terrifying. You probably don't want to show up to lodge.
I'm going to show up with a lumberjack axe.
Okay.
Take him at the knees. Five-star review. Top show from across the pond. Love listening to the Freemasons podcast. This is from Midlander, Great Britain. Love listening to the podcast as it does what it says in the tin. A lighthearted look at the world of Freemasonry with hosts who generally love the fraternity and Masonry worldwide. Thanks, brothers.
Thank you.
Appreciate no that. Problemo, my mofo. Great podcast. 5-star review. This one from Nick 69427. Boop, boop, boop. Coming to you from Ontario, Canada. This podcast has helped me understand what Masonry is all about. Coming from a Christian family, I've been told my entire life that Masonry is satanic and to stay away from it. Mm. We're not.
We are not. I have to tell you that.
It's a joke, fuckers.
Yeah.
Don't
get your YouTubes in a twist.
Yeah, don't get your YouTube channels in a twist. I'm sure some asshole out there is going to edit it. Mm-hmm. Pat SC.
Yep.
Yeah, that was a shot.
I know.
After listening to this podcast, I've realized that the community and brotherhood is what it's about. I'm excited to start my journey through the fraternity. Thanks for the great podcast. That was from Nick from Canada on February 16th. And again, I apologize to everybody for not reading these. But again, for whatever reason, Apple just doesn't tell me when, you know, people from other countries,
you know,
fucking hey. Apple. Fuck Spotify. Fuck Apple.
Look, the important thing is we have access to them now.
Great podcast. 5-star review. This is from the United States of America. Merca. Fireman Jim 903.
That sounds like it may be Brother Jim DeVerney.
Maybe.
Yeah.
About time, you asshole.
He is a firefighter, and his name is Jim.
No, I think his it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Your show is very entertaining and also very informative. I have just returned my EA and will be starting my FC soon. So no,
definitely
it's not
him. No.
No, because there would be a lot more shit talking in that review.
Yeah.
However, Fireman Jim 903, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, man. Appreciate it.
And
brother.
Let's see here.
Or by that sacred appellation, I may now address you. We got Sean Stevenson saying, hey, brothers, hope you are doing well, and bless you, George. So, you know.
Bless at least, me.
Well, you sneezed.
Oh, I thought he just meant bless me and fuck you. I mean, that would have been.
Well, I mean, it could be that, too. I would deserve that. There is no Great Britain, only So-So Britain is overrated from Marshall Brother Joe Schultz. Yep, so it's begun. James Ayers says, Brother George, are those the same size chairs? And Sean Stevenson says those chairs look comfy. They are actually very comfortable.
Again, however, for people like me whose feet don't touch the ground, you definitely don't want to like put your weight back because I'll describe it.
We actually tilted the camera up so that you can't see that his legs are dangling like he's a child. Oh, no.
I don't know what I broke.
You didn't break it. It's just...
Oh, shit. I can't get up now. Oh, but the chair's reclined.
It's that really fancy lamp that we haven't found a good place for yet.
Oh, did I break it?
No.
Oh, good. Anyway, so today we're going to be talking about rare ritual.
Yeah.
Or collectors or something like that. This is a topic you brought up.
Or
I figured...
Like that. Yeah.
Let's give it a shot. So Ken's probably going to lead the charge on this one. I got one thing that I looked up that I found in the short time.
Oh, I'm interested in hearing about that.
Because originally, I really didn't have anything planned for today because we were just hoping that we'd be able to go fucking live and actually do a podcast.
Which we did.
Fuck you, Spotify.
So kudos to us.
Right. But
we didn't toast these guys either.
Oh, we didn't. Let's do that. Ken, lead it.
Just looked over at my drink here.
Good.
All right. Brother, right hand to arms.
Two arms.
Ready.
Ready.
Aim.
Aim.
Fire good fire, fire all. Together, brother. Oh, that was so gentle.
It was, because I didn't want to shoot it all over the place.
Vivat, vivat, vivat.
Little rusty.
Yeah, it's like we forgot how to do this.
No, we need our freaking cannons. What did we do with those when we moved?
Oh, shit. They're in the box over in the closet. Like the auxiliary box. That
next goddamn time we're bringing them up.
Yeah,
we're gonna really like slam shit.
Oh god, I love those things too. Oh, make yeah. I forgot can't all believe about that.
Them.
We didn't take those.
I forgot all about them.
Yeah, they're like the Hunt for Red October cups, right? They're like bronze.
Let them shink.
Or yeah, they're like pewter, and then there's like a glass inside of it, and it's got the square and compasses. I forget who got those for us, but
Jersey Cowboy.
I should really give them a shout out. They are great.
Okay. All right. Before we get into this, Sean Stevenson. So fantasy football lads.
Sean Springboks. Let's go. He says.
So he's in the fantasy.
He is. So that's his team. Sean Springboks on the fantasy league is.
I didn't pay attention. All I did Sean was pay Stevenson. Attention to the fact that I beat Devaney this weekend. Yeah.
Pretty, I lost. I lost to Bat Dad.
Pretty soundly
in game one. It was terrible.
I'm not gonna lie. I was stoked because I wasn't able to do the fantasy draft. I freaking missed it for whatever fucking reason. I missed it.
Yeah, and you auto drafted an
auto drafted an A plus goddamn team.
Yeah, well, that's all.
However, though, anyway. Last year I drafted an A plus team and still freaking lost, like second to last. So it's all kind of horseshit at the end. And again, I would just want to point out that what's his name is hurt yet again.
Aaron Rodgers?
McCaffrey.
Oh, McCaffrey, yeah.
Every year I drafted him, every year he gets
hey,
hurt.
Last year they gave me a D-, and I think I took third place last year. So all that statistical nonsense is garbage on Yahoo. So
Jersey Boy, I'll talk about that real quick. Again, can I ask what happened to the podcast on Spotify?
The last episode listed on July. Yeah.
So we were literally just talking about that, and I'll explain real quick. Basically, what happened is we used to have Anchor. Anchor became Spotify because Spotify bought Anchor. We were still using the Anchor platform to upload, and then Spotify just one day decided to just kill it.
Yeah. It just
so now we had no way of uploading it. So now what we have to do is we have to find another platform so that we can upload it and do everything we need to do. The problem is, though, if we move our podcast to another platform, let's just say RSS.com or Podbean or something like that, we need to make sure that we're able to pull all of our prior episodes to the new platform, because if we can't, shut that thing up. If we can't, then we're going to lose all of our prior episodes. So right now we're trying to figure that out. I think Ken and I have kind of got it where we'll be good. Right, Ken?
Yeah. So, I mean, my take on that is there are a lot of other podcast hosting platforms out there. I don't even think we really have to worry about, like, the previous episodes, because they're already out there on all those channels. We just have to make sure we can find something that'll host it and disseminate them that isn't going to be a pain in the ass. I'm working on it.
So, Jersey Cowboy, for those who are eventually going to be listening on this... about you get it, Ken?
Can't. Oh.
So he put a...
No, I don't get... Oh.
He put an orange dot and a black dot. He put an orange dot and a black dot next to one another. Fucked me up. That was...
I don't get it. Explain.
Because I told him we need to find some place to upload our content. The orange dot and the black dot is Pornhub.
I'm amazed that you know their branding just by looking at two colors on the screen.
Oh, it's like a,
you
it's
probably
like this,
spend too much time on that platform. You dude.
Go, really? You're really going to dime me out like
I mean,
that.
I don't know. I wouldn't know what orange and black means. I'd be like, Pornhub. OnlyFans. We should start an OnlyFans.
Not OnlyFans, Pornhub. OnlyFans is completely different. How do you know about OnlyFans?
I don't know. It's like advertised all over the place.
Oh, so is Pornhub.
All the sketchy websites I go to.
All right, we digress. That was fucking good, though. He caught me. Yeah. He got me off guard on that one. I wasn't expecting that shit. So, anyway, nice, so that's the nice deal. Choices. We have to find a new platform to do it. And I think me and Ken pretty much got it ironed out.
Yeah,
it's just a matter of just trying to... work out all the logistical part of it. So
yeah, it'll be fine.
Just on a side note, if I ever so happen to be just looking on one of your social media pages and I click on like your link tree and there's an OnlyFans up there, I swear to God, it will be the last time we'll ever have a discussion.
By next week, I'm going to have an OnlyFans.
If I see
and you're totally
your pasty, naked, tall ass.
Nah,
I'm gonna be pissed. I'm just letting you know that right now.
Wait till you see. I'll tease it properly.
You'll
want to donate.
Jesus Christ! All right, let's we're getting off on a tangent here. All right, how do you even segue into ancient Masonic ritual?
Well, let me tell you all about collecting rare ritual. So we decided to come to talk
what
about
the
this
fuck
because
is happening.
Well, no, it's just this how you do it.
Go ahead.
You know, I was talking to some brothers recently. There's a brother, shout out to St. Paul's Lodge. There's a brother there who is he does a lot of really, really interesting ritual that you don't see in the Blue Book, right? So it's not like Connecticut Grand Lodge, you know, regular ritual. So you wouldn't see it in a normal book. But he has all these little lectures, all these little snippets that he adds to degrees. And they're all, like, clearly written by, I don't know if he writes, maybe he writes some of them. Maybe some of them are handed down since time immemorial. But they're really, really intricate pieces of ritual, and they go with the rest of the ritual. So it sounds archaic like the rest of our ritual does. And I was like, wow, that's interesting. Like, I enjoy delivering those kinds of rituals too that you don't see normally, right? Like, you have to know somebody and like see it done and be like, hey man, can I get a copy of that?
Right.
And this guy, I was talking to him and he's like, oh yeah, I collect these. And I'm like, you collect them? Okay. Like, what does that mean? And he's like, well, I really enjoy doing a ritual that's not, you know, in the normal ritual monitor that you don't see everywhere, because that's like what I'm into. And I'm like, that's cool. Like, I enjoy doing that too.
Right.
Like, I like some of the longer rituals too that are in our normal book, but I'm like, you know, those things that you don't normally see, and if you perform them right, I think they're very moving.
Right.
Because by virtue of you never having heard it before and it adding something to the ritual, I think it makes it super memorable.
Okay.
And that's something that he does. So we kind of got into a conversation. I'm like, oh, what are the ones that you do? And he's like, oh, you do that one? That's cool. I've never seen that one perform before. Can I get a copy of it? And we were like trading pieces of ritual back and forth. And I'm like, wow, I wonder if other brothers do this, like in other jurisdictions. I'm sure in some jurisdictions they're like, look, you can't add anything, right? Here in Connecticut, it is, you have to stick to the essentials, right? So everything that's covered in the Blue Book for a degree, you have to stick to. But you can add things, right? So I forget exactly what the terminology is that they use. It's like consistency and the essential and additive and the whatever.
Right.
So for example, and I'm not going to go into detail here, obviously, for reasons. Right. But the working tools for the Master Mason degree, there is a long form version of that that Right Worshipful Brother. Oh, God, I just blanked on his name. That's terrible. Marshall Robinson's good friend. Well, that's sad that I just blanked on his name. I will come back to it later.
Grant?
Grant Gould, yes. Yep. So Right Worshipful Brother Grant Gould does this long-form working tools. He told me he got the ritual from his father. He doesn't know where his father got it from. So that's as far back as I can trace it. But I saw him do it once in Lodge, and I'm like, hey, could I have a copy of that? And he's like, absolutely. Here, learn it. And since then, I've traded it to a couple other brothers throughout the third district, and they've learned it as well. So that we're keeping that together, you know.
So it's more of like ritual variations rather than like ancient ritual,
right? So that one in particular is a long form version of the Master Mason working tool. So you still at the middle of that ritual, you still do the normal Connecticut, you know, long, you know, regular working tools piece.
I gotcha.
But there's a, you know, sort of a prequel, like a couple paragraphs at the beginning and then several paragraphs in a poem at the end.
Right.
Okay. And I saw him do it once and I was like, that's awesome. I'd love to learn that. And then I found that other brothers, when I performed it in a few different lodges, other brothers were like, holy crap, I'd love a copy of that as well. And it started to perpetuate itself. So it went from like, you know, him getting that ritual from his father and, you know, keeping that lineage going to a whole bunch of other brothers throughout the entire district that now know that ritual and are keeping it going.
Right.
So I thought that was really cool. And I, you know, it's neat to be able to keep those kinds of things alive, but I think it's also cool to trace the history back and find out where that ritual originated, because clearly it didn't come from the Connecticut Grand Lodge.
Right.
It's not in our Blue Book. So, like, you know, who wrote it originally and how long has it been performed in the state?
Right.
I find that really interesting. And I don't know if that's, you know, something that you guys see in other jurisdictions out there. Maybe some of our listeners have insights in that. I'd love to hear about it because, you know, the Canadian charge, for example. Right, you've heard of that.
Yes, I've heard it. Yep. Perry, I think Worshipful Brother Perry, he's done it.
That was the first time I saw it done was Worshipful Brother Perry.
And I got it from somebody else, and I gave it to him.
Yeah. But clearly it came out of Canada.
Yeah.
And I thought that was, I talked to somebody about it, and they kind of told me the lineage of it, when it originated and everything. I think that's kind of interesting. So it kind of tickles, like, the historical part of my brain. Like, I love Masonic history. But I also love ritual. So, you know, as soon as I started learning those types of pieces of ritual, I was like, you know what? This is really cool. I think this is going to be my thing. This is going to be my niche. So I don't know if any other brothers from other jurisdictions have had that experience, but I'd love to hear about it.
Sean Stevens, I just want to quickly read a couple comments. Brothers, I'm doing my second degree in November, getting nervous. How do you guys study ritual? Or how do you commit it to memory? I know my part is small, but I will take any advice nonetheless. So
we might have some advice on that.
Yeah. So the way I always did it and the way I learned things, even to this day, and one of the things I have to memorize is the opening to court. There's actually a ritual for that too, which is kind of cool.
Probably came from us.
Just a open court, and it's Old English too. Same thing. Oh yay! Oh yay! Oh yay! The Honorable Superior Court of the Judicial District. Blah blah blah.
Ooh.
But the way I had to learn it was, and this is the way I learned it. For the questions and answers part of it, I learned both sides of it. I learned the questions and I learned the answers, and I did that for the sole purpose of, if I knew the question ahead of time, I knew what the goddamn response was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
It's like first section lecture.
First, right. So that's the way I learned it. But the way I learned it was talking to myself in the mirror. I always found part of my issue has always been doing things in front of other people. Right.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's like having eyes on you.
Public speaking.
So if I did it in a mirror and I had myself to look at, it almost gave me the impression that if I was standing across from somebody and they were looking at me, you know what I mean? While I was doing it. Does that make sense?
Yep.
To you?
No, that makes sense. Yeah.
So that's the way I learned it, was in a mirror, and I'd stand in the mirror and I would just read it and I'd recite it. And if I fucked up, I would go back and start it all over again. But I would do it in chunks. I would break it up in sections. I didn't learn it beginning to end. I would do, like, I would get up to a question that I felt comfortable with, or a question, believe it or not, actually a question or a part that I liked in the ritual.
Okay, yeah.
Like, so I would learn everything up to the part that I liked. Like, for instance, when I learned how to do the EA degree, I would get up to the point where withdraw now while there is yet time. That's the only ritual I'm going to try.
That was a good natural break.
That was a natural break. Boom. So I learned all that section right up to that break. Mm-hmm. I learned it, and then I paused, and then I gave myself that moment of the design of the blah, 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 and I would continue on. I would learn the next section.
Yep.
Boom. Stop. Yep. Then I would go back, and I'd start from the beginning and then incorporate both sections into one. Then I'd learn the third. And then I would go one, two, three.
Yep.
So I always tried to break it up, because when you look at the ritual, regardless of what you're doing, okay,
it can be overwhelming. Man. Some of it is super,
because it's
long.
Like, holy shit, how am I going to learn 4 pages of this shit?
The same way actors do.
That's how I would break up. That's my advice to you. Mm-hmm. That's how I learned it. Maybe it won't apply to you. Maybe you read it in the car, or, you know, some people record themselves actually reading it and then just play it over and over. That's another way to learn.
Yep.
Much similar to listening to a song on the radio.
Yep.
You listen to it over and over.
That's
again
how you learn all those lyrics.
You learn all those lyrics.
You can do that. You can learn
straight
ritual
out of Compton. Yep. No, I'm just kidding. I wasn't going to continue with those lyrics, but that's how I learned it. Yep. Those are the two ways of advice I can give you of how I learned shit. Okay.
I totally agree with you, especially the building up on, you know, the pieces that you've already learned, right? I like, and your mileage may vary, right? Like, everybody encodes memories in a different way, and I totally understand that. You could do a sentence at a time.
Yep.
You could do a paragraph at a time, whatever you feel comfortable with. The way I like doing it is, you know, most of the ritual that I've learned, they're paragraph-based, right? Yep. So it'll be like two or three sentences, and then there's a natural break, and then you move on to the next bit, whatever it happens to be. What I like to do is I'll keep going until I learn that first paragraph.
Yep.
Right? And I can just rote regurgitate it. Then I'll learn the next piece, and when I'm practicing it, I do the entire thing. Same thing, right? Like all two paragraphs. If I don't get it right, then I go back and I try to relearn it. Once I have those two paragraphs good, then I add on the next one. So I totally agree with you. That's the way that I've always quickly learned ritual. The other thing that I would say is you'd be surprised how powerful it is to deliver the ritual where you're actually going to be performing it, right?
Right.
So once you have it down to the point where setting is important, absolutely.
Right. Right. Right.
There's actually a term for it in psychology. I think I've talked about it on previous episodes too. I think it's like situational recall or something like that they call it. If you're going to be performing your ritual in lodge in a particular location, let's say you're in the northeast corner and you're doing first section lecture or something like that in front of the candidates in the northeast corner of the lodge, go there and practice it there. So once you have the entire ritual down, you're like, okay, I can say it to myself in the car, and it sounds pretty good.
That's correct.
Go there to that actual place where you're going to be delivering it, because you'll find that it's a little bit different.
Yeah,
100%. Practice it there a couple times.
Especially when you do like a big part. Like I did the commander's part of the Order of the Temple one time.
Oh, yeah.
I did it a couple times. And
it's a cool ritual.
You can know the ritual in your mind. You're like, I got this shit. You get up there on that dais and you're like, oh, shit.
Yep.
Like, because it's, like you said, it's definitely.
All eyes are on you.
All eyes are on you.
Yeah, it's a totally different thing.
Everyone's looking at you like, come on, fuck face. We want to be out of here by 11 o'clock. Like,
well, there's that too, yeah. So try really hard to. I can't emphasize the value of rehearsals enough. I know it kind of seems like a pain in the ass, like, oh, yeah, we're doing the EA next week, and I have to, like, go to lodge the Thursday prior or whatever to do rehearsal. Dude, trust me. Go to the rehearsal. Don't skip over it. Deliver your ritual in that room with other people around you, with the lighting the same that it's going to be. You'd be surprised how much better you are at performing that ritual, not just delivering it, not just regurgitating it monotone, but performing the ritual. Once you have it memorized and you do it in front of an audience and you do it in the place where you're supposed to deliver it.
Two other things I'd like to add to that. Okay. One of the other two things I would do was, one, I would slow down. When you learn it and you memorize it and you think, I got it hard, because you're sitting there and you're
You want to get it all out of your brain.
You want to get it all out of your brain because you want to rush through it.
Yep.
It's the worst thing you can do. Slow down. Take your time. You know what else I also used to do too? I would intentionally... When I was learning it, I would intentionally fuck myself up.
Oh.
Think about
this. Like try to make yourself blank on a word or something?
What I would do is I would jump ahead a question or two.
Oh.
Here's why, okay? And this is the problem. When you do, let's just say, that ritual, that lecture, right? Where it's the questions and answers part of it, right?
Yep. Yeah, first section. Yep.
You may know it by heart, but the other guy over there, what if he screws up?
Yeah, and there's different kinds of rituals.
And there's different kinds of rituals.
Yeah, sometimes you're going against somebody else, and sometimes you're monologuing.
Perfect example would be, what happened next? What happened next?
Yep.
You're like, oh, shit. No, he's supposed to ask me, but then you followed your guy. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But instead of saying, what did your guide tell you to do? Or I'm paraphrasing here. Please, this is not ritual, and I'm not purposely flubbling it, but I'm deceptively changing the lyrics, or the words to it. But like, let's just say the line was supposed to be on his end, where did you follow your guide? And instead, he says, "Well, what happened next?"
Yeah, it screws you up because you're waiting
for a particular to catch yourself. So that's what I would do, is I would intentionally say, and what happened next? And then I would answer the question in my head with what I'm supposed to say, rather than a cue off of how he answered it.
Right.
I know we're throwing a lot at you here, Brother Sean, but this is the different ways that, and eventually got to a point where I was perfected now in it.
Yeah. Matter what happened. In the lodge, didn't matter if he messed up a line, you could still roll with it. Yeah,
also, in addition to that, if you do fuck up, keep pushing.
Oh, yeah.
Blow right through it. Don't dwell on it. There's been many a times where, like, I've done, like, an obligation. And I did it, and I'm like, I nailed that shit, right? And then literally 2 meetings later when we had another EA, and there was somebody else who was like, yeah, I want to be masked for this. I'm like, all right. He would sit there, and he would do the ritual, and he would say some shit, and I'm like, oh, fuck me, I forgot that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, but
an obligation's a little bit more important than some of the other.
But yeah, my point is, like, I changed a word, or I jumped, you know what I mean? Or I missed a word, or, you know, nothing major of the obligation, but I missed something.
Right.
And somebody else caught it and said it in their obligation, and I'm like, shit. I forgot to say that.
Totally forgot about that.
But again, nobody knew the difference.
Right.
Everybody was like, oh, wow, you killed that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's my other point is just roll with it. Yeah, he just said
especially,
it.
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy. Get out of my head.
Especially if it's not an obligation. If it's just a lecture, well, I mean, it's not just a lecture. If it's a lecture, just roll with it. And the reason is you're not there to impress the past masters in the lodge.
No.
You're not there to impress Purple. You're not there to impress yourself. Your job is to communicate, you know, the lessons of that degree to the candidates.
In addition to that, actually,
as long as you're getting that across, it really doesn't matter.
I didn't mind when Purple was there. You want to know why? Because I love the baptism by fire. That, to me, is the best way to learn.
Yeah, some people
baptism
thrive under pressure.
Fire.
Yeah,
I mean, you can either crumble under pressure or you can thrive. Shit, the first time I ever did a Master Mason degree, nobody told me it was a fucking inspection and Marshall Robinson was sitting in the freaking East.
Well, Marshall's a great guy.
He's
not going to...
When he's not out chasing John Connor, yeah, he's a great guy. Like,
he's not a cyborg.
He's a Terminator. The guy is indestructible.
I mean, kind of is. Yeah, he is indestructible. I will say that, yes. Yeah, I just remembered the motorcycle accident.
So
yeah.
My point being
he cannot be killed.
You know, when you walk in and you're like, oh, cool, I'm just going to be with my lodge mates, and all of a sudden you see a sea of purple walking through the door, you're like... What the fuck? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that will trip you up.
It will trip you up if you let it.
Yeah.
But you got to just, I'm baptism by fire. Throw me into the heat. Let's go.
I'm one of those guys that gets intimidated by people like that. So if the whole grand line happens to come in to watch me do a piece of ritual, even if I know it and I have it perfected, that pressure does get to me. But I will say, the more you practice it, the more you practice it in lodge, the more it becomes automatic, the less you have to worry about that.
Right. Realistically,
practice. I know it's stupid. It sounds like, you know, I'm talking to my child or something like that. It's the only way you get better.
The reason why I also say baptism by fire, and this is just my own personal opinion, when you're standing and there's a sea of purple and they're watching you and you freaking nail it, now the next time they're not there, you got it.
Yeah, that's true.
You've already been under the pressure. At this point, now it's like, you know what I mean? It's not as bad.
I've always been better at a ritual and learned it better when somebody gave me a very short time period to learn it in. Right? If the master comes to me and he's like, like you to learn whatever, second section EA. But, you know, the EA and inspection is 2 weeks from now. Like, when somebody tells, like, that kind of pressure, I'm all about. Because I'll be like, okay. I'm going to dedicate.
Crunch
time. I'll break it up into 4 paragraphs. And I'm going to learn a paragraph every 2 days or something like that, and I can set those short-term goals for myself. And that's when I learn ritual the best. Right. If I say, "Oh, I'm going to learn the middle chamber by sometime next year," I'll never learn it,
right?
And I never have for that reason. So,
Matt Goldswizzle, I'd love to see what you guys call the Canadian charge. So, the Canadian charge, I won't go into detail, but
Yonder Book.
Yeah,
we'll just say that.
Yonder Book.
is it Yonder Book? Yeah, it's Yonder Book. Yeah.
Yonder Book, and it's but by this and this and this.
Yeah. There you go.
That
should be enough. If that doesn't sound familiar, it's not what
That's
we call
not
the
bad for me, man. I haven't done ritual in a hot minute. It's been a couple 2-3 years.
You don't even know that damn ritual. You just heard it a few
times. I did it first.
You know the Canadian charge?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep.
See, I'm learning something about you. Can you give me that ritual so that I can add it to my collection of rare ritual?
I'll have to find it. I have it on paper, but yeah, I'll give it to you.
Okay, appreciate that. Otherwise, I'll talk to Barry. Or Perry.
Yeah,
sorry.
Perry probably still has it. I think even Saxton might have it, too.
Yeah, Saxton.
I think it was one of the things I donated to the lodge.
Saxton is another collector of rare ritual. He got the Master Mason long form working tools from me, and he wanted to learn it. He's into doing that too. Yep.
Familiar but different. All right.
Okay.
All right. Fair enough.
We'll have to talk about this more, Matt.
Yes. Well, we're talking about rare rituals. Maybe you can pass one along our way.
Well, don't paste it into the chat. All right.
I wish, you know, so one of the things I enjoy, and I'll go, if you don't mind me segue into this now too, is yes, I enjoy the variations of ritual, but I've always loved the progression of ritual. And what I mean by that is, again, when I was at Morningstar, we had a lot of old books. I actually held the original minutes in my hand from 1804, very first lodge meeting.
And you guys should probably use like rubber gloves and stuff.
We use the cloth gloves.
Okay, good.
The book is, I mean, old.
Oh, yeah.
But that was one thing that I thoroughly enjoyed, was seeing the progression of how things changed over the years, even from 1804 to 2018, 2019, whenever the hell I left Morningstar Lodge.
Yeah.
And I always loved that. And the one thing I wish we could have gotten, or there was actually out there, was like the Ben Franklin ritual that he wrote for Blue Lodge.
That would have been cool.
I would love to see the different variations of how it was done back then. So one of the things I brought up just quickly on my phone, and this is supposed to be the oldest manuscript of Freemason.
So there was
schmutz.
Constitutions of Freemasonry, which I think was written by Ben Franklin, right? You're not talking about that.
What I'm talking about is, if I can get into it, because this one's called the Edinburgh Register House Manuscript of 1696.
Okay.
And these were basically the questions and answers of Lodge. It was discovered in 1930 by Brother Charles T. McInnes in the old register house of Edinburgh.
So this isn't the Regius.
No.
Okay. That's a different
so
one.
These are the questions, and it's pretty funny because if the first thing is the first one, they kind of break down what Q and A stands for, and it says quest. So all I thought of instantaneously was Monty Python and the Search for the Holy Grail is, what is your quest?
Love it.
But anyway, the question is, are you a Mason? Yes. How shall I know it? You shall know it in time and place of. You shall know it in time and place convenient. Remark for the foresaid answer is only to be made when there is company present who are not Masons. But if there be no such company by, you should answer by signs, signes, tokens, and other points of entry. ENTRIE.
Yeah, so it's different, but it's close enough that I know it's the first section lecture.
What is your first point? Tell me the first point, I'll tell you the second. ILE, I'll tell you the second. The first is to heal, HEILL, and conceal with two L's.
Yep.
Second, under no less pain, which is the cutting of your throat, for you most make that sign when you say that. So they're not asking for the sign. They want you to explain the goddamn sign. I don't know how deep I can go into this because...
Yeah, I wouldn't go. I mean, you're getting pretty close to...
I dabbled. Question four. Where, Wes, you entered at the Honorable Lodge? What makes a true and perfect lodge? Seven masters, five apprentices, and day's journey from the borough's town without bark of dog or crow of cock.
What the hell? Yeah, okay, that's a little different.
All right, that's why I continued.
There are no cocks in modern day ritual.
Oh, I mean, he's not here today, but there are a lot of cocks. Never mind. There's no roosters, excuse me. Does
OnlyFans.
Next question. He fucking better not be on there.
See my OnlyFans.
Throw up.
Oh, who? Joe?
Joe, yes.
Joe's definitely fat Brad Pitt OnlyFans. I guarantee you.
Dude, his comment this morning in our GroupMe thing, I was like,
I'm
not going to get into it.
We
can't repeat it. Yes. He said he was going to the Big E, but bringing... I'll leave the imagination up to you.
Oh, I love you, Joe. Come back soon.
Question six. does no less make a true and perfect lodge. Yes, five masons and three entered apprentices in company. Does no less. The more, the merrier. The fewer, the better cheer.
Okay.
What is the name of your lodge? Kilwinning. How stands your lodge? East and west as Temple of Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. Where west the first lodge? In the porch of Solomon's temple. Are there any lights in your lodge? Yes, three to the northeast, southwest, and eastern passage. The one denotes the master mason, the other the warden, the third the setter Croft.
So they're only talking about the
They're talking about the three lesser lights.
Yeah, they're not talking about the great lights.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I've got there yet, but anyway, I think it's interesting because one of the big debates in freaking lodges was always where you put the freaking three lesser lights. Because it only goes on three corners of the altar.
It's got to be in a triangular position about the lodge. I've seen people do it where,
but
it's
this
near,
is actually spelling
it's near
out,
the warden's chairs.
This is actually
chair.
Spelling out where it is though. One is in the northeast, southwest, which is over by the
but that could still be around the lodge, just in those cardinal directions.
In eastern passage. So one's in the east. One's in the northeast, so there's two on the left, one on the bottom right, closest to where the candidate would kneel.
Right.
Interesting.
Right. Yeah.
Are there any jewels in your lodge? Yes. The perpend Esler, the square pavement, and broad oval.
So they're talking about the mosaic pavement, which is the black and white. No,
I think they're talking about the jewels. The perpend Esler. I don't know what the fuck that is. A square, which is square pavement. Square.
Okay.
The square. And the broad oval.
The broad oval.
O-V-A-L-L. So, my question
is, I have no idea what that means.
Did they change the...
The working tools or something?
Tools?
No, definitely not. I'm sure
from 1694, maybe.
I'm pretty sure those are just like antiquated terms for.
Well, don't forget
standard working tools.
A long time ago, it was just the square was the symbol. Then they went square and compasses. Then they went and later added the G. Think about that.
Well, the G is actually jurisdictional too. It's like it's an America thing, right? So they don't do that overseas.
What the hell is a perpendicular? I'm going to look this up. Hold on. Give me a second.
Sounds similar to perpendicular, which I would guess would be the plumb. But I might be wrong.
Interesting.
I don't know. I would guess it would be the plumb.
The perpendicular, or ashlar, is an important stone used in the construction of masonry walls, but is not the perfect ashlar stone required. Interesting. So it was a freaking stone.
All right.
So that's one. Sorry. I apologize for that.
So, I mean, at that point in the ritual and in like the, you know, our Connecticut standard first section lecture, you're not talking about the working tools at that point anyway.
Broad.
That's more the point where we talk about, I guess I probably shouldn't go into details, but...
You're good. What did you touch?
I didn't touch anything. What are you doing?
Not you. I'm talking.
You're the only one twiddling with your mobile device.
Broad oval looks like it's a freaking...
like an ellipse?
Like a pulling handle like you'd find on like a cabinet or something.
Okay.
All right. Well, whatever. Let's continue on here. I don't know. I think personally, this is my opinion. Maybe you guys can chat up in the comments here, but I think it's different ritual tools. I think they're different working tools. I really do. Perpendicular is a stone. A square pavement, which would be a square, and a broad oval. Where shall I find the keys to your lodge? Answer, 3 foot and a half from the lodge door under the perpend Esler and a green divot, but under the lap of my liver where all my secrets of my heart lie.
The what? Yeah, it's totally different than our ritual. I have no idea what they're alluding to. 1694,
but so yeah. 3.5 feet from the lodge door under a purpend Essler. So they're actually, the keys to the lodge are 3.5 feet away from the lodge door under a stone and a green divot. So it must have been a green, it must be a stone that was painted with a green divot. But under the lap of my liver, where all my secrets of the heart of my heart lie. Where's your liver on your body?
I believe it's like the left side.
Okay,
like
I right just had a moment of Beavis abdomen. And Butthead in my head. In my head, where he's like, my liver, down, Father Beavis, my liver.
I think it's right about here.
Right about there. Yeah. So if it's under the lap of my liver, where all my, where the, all the, my secrets of my heart lie. So that'd be your intestines?
There ain't much else down there except for, yeah, you'd have to go on OnlyFans to see it.
Just fucking drop it! which is the key of your lodge? A wheel-hung tongue.
No idea.
Yo, we need a Scottish dude in this bitch pronto to explain this.
We need a 1600s Scottish...
A wheel-hung tongue, that's which is the key of your lodge, a wheel-hung tongue. Where lies the key? In the bone box.
What?
Yeah, what the...
We have no such thing.
Okay. After the Masons have examined you by all... have examined you by all or some of these questions, and that you have answered them exactly in Mad the Signs... They will acknowledge you, but not a master mason or fellow craft, but only as apprentice. So they will say, I see you have been in the kitchen, but I know not if you have been. I'm sorry, I'm trying to decipher this. It's not that me. I'm reading like a fucking idiot.
It sounds like the lyrics from Gangster's Paradise.
Right. In the kitchen, but I know not if you have been
but
in the
I don't
hall.
Know what's cooking.
I have been in the hall at as wheel in the wheel W E E L in the kitchen K I T C H I N E kitchen whatever. Are you a fellow craft? Yeah, this is get better. Yes. How many points of a fellow craft are there? 5 foot. To foot.
Oh man.
FYVE. 5?
FYVE?
Yeah.
Yeah.
5? Viz foot. To foot, knee to knee. Heart to heart. Hand to hand. Ear. Oh.
No, don't keep going. Cut it off right there.
Then make the sign of a fellow craft and shake the hand that you will be acknowledged as a true mason. However, it's interesting. They're talking about that as a fellow craft.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, maybe... I mean, look, they also added an additional degree at a certain point. I don't know if that was so... I don't know if it was during the 1600s, but it used to be there were, like, 2 degrees.
Yeah, it was right? There was a journeyman or the entered apprentice and a... Fellow craft. That was it.
Yeah, there
the
was
only
no
time
master
you ever
mason.
Exceed,
there was,
well,
yeah.
You became a master mason
when
you were
master
of the lodge.
Right, right, right.
So they added the master mason as a third degree.
And everybody
and
were
yoinked from the fellow craft degree. Yeah.
So ancient craft masonry had 2 degrees. So maybe that's why you're getting all of that stuff that you would normally get in the master mason.
This is interesting as shit, though. So let's go here to the form of the given the master... the Mason word.
And Jersey Cowboys like Hawk Tua? assume because of your like pronunciation.
Impress you are to take the person to the... You are... Oh, my God.
Yeah,
this is all in like old English. Impress... Imprisimus, you are to take the person to take the word upon his knees, and after a great many ceremonies to frighten him, you make him take up the Bible, and laying his right hand on it, you are to conjure him to secrecy by threatening that if he shall break his oath, the sun in the firmament will be the witness against him, and all the company then present, which will be an occasion of his damnation, and likewise the Masons will be sure to murder him. Holy shit. They're going to clip this bastard if he freaking Wow. Then that's basically what it says. Which he will be an occasion of his damnation, and that likewise the Masons will be sure to murder him. Damn.
Yeah, you know what you don't hear in that is like the disclaimer at the end of whatever that says.
Well, yeah.
All of these penalties are.
Then, after he promised secrecy, they give him the oath as follows. I'm going to read this oath because this is an old oath. It's not even.
Are you sure?
Positive. Read through it. I'm reading it. I'm reading it. Right. Oh, cool. So you ever see those images of like you type in George Washington Mason? They show the mosaic floor and there's a bunch of swords pointed at his ass.
Oh yeah.
This is kind of it. We don't do that no more. By God himself.
Some jurisdictions might, but...
Yeah, well.
Whatever. Not us, yeah.
Strike me down.
They don't like swords in Grand Lodge in Connecticut.
We should point pistols at them now. By God himself, you shall answer to God when you shall stand naked before him. Oh, so he was a bare ass. At the great day, you shall not reveal any part of... Part? Oh, I dropped him. Scott right there. You shall not reveal any part of what you shall hear or see in this time, whether it by word nor write, nor put it on write, or any time, nor draw it with the point of the sword or any other instrument upon snow or sand, nor should you speak of it, but with entered Mason, so help you God. Okay.
Oh, so you were reading it all at once, but that's the obligation.
Yeah. But did you hear that? Of the entered Mason. Now think about some shit.
Yeah.
You will not write nor put it right any. Okay.
Yep. It's very. Yeah. It's similar to. After, I mean, look, the essentials of it are the same.
After he has taken the oath, he is removed out of the company with the youngest Mason, where after he is sufficiently frightened with 1,000 ridiculous postures and grimaces.
What?
He is to learn from the SD Mason, Senior Deacon Mason?
Yes.
The manner of making his due guard with is the sign and posture of the word of his entire, which are as follows. First, when he enters again into the company, he must make a ridiculous bow and then sign and say, God bless the honorable company. Then putting off his hat after a very foolish manner, only to be demonstrated, then he says the words of his entry, which are as follows. Here come I, the youngest and last entered apprentice, as I am sworn by God in St. John's Square and Compass. Okay. Mm-hmm. A common judge to attend my master's service at the Honorable Lodge from Monday till in the morning till Saturday at night to keep the keys thereof under no less pain. I think it's funny that they excluded Sunday.
Sunday is a day of rest.
Right. Under no less pain than having...
We're going to skip over that.
Within the flood mark where,
skip over all that.
Yep. then all the Masons present whispering among themselves the word beginning at the youngest till it comes to the master Mason. Oh, wow. Who gives the word to the entered apprentice.
So everybody has to kind of like go around the room and give
and
the
give
word.
Give each other the word. Yeah. Okay. Which I've seen done.
Yeah, yeah.
I've seen that done. That's kind of a thing in some lodges.
I mean, it's actually part of the Connecticut ritual, too, if you look at it. And usually you kind of forego it, right? Like, are all present, whatever rank, right? Are all present Master Masons. Usually the senior warden's just like, yep, all present are Master Masons. He, like, just kind of looks around the room and everything. But you can send the deacons out, and it's in the ritual book. And you can make them examine everybody individually.
Right. Yeah. So, and then basically this, and I'm reading ahead here, it just goes on and on and on until you finally get to the Master Mason degree. So they actually did all three degrees, in a sense, in one night.
Okay. Yeah.
Did your EA degree, took the obligation.
Yeah.
You learned that. Then you did the Fellowcraft degree. They learned all that. And that's where it stops. Because, again, there was only two degrees.
Were two. Yep.
And then it just basically, that's pretty much it.
That's kind of cool.
Pretty freaking cool, though. I thought.
So
that
I'll tell
was...
you what. That is an ancient ritual. It is a rare ritual, but I'm not going to learn it.
No. You didn't even be able to freaking read it.
I couldn't even
I was
pronounce half of it.
Stumbling through half of it. And a lot of it I ad-lib, too, because it's just old English. I don't know anything about it. But
yeah.
I thought that was pretty cool, but that was one of the things I always enjoyed was to see how the ritual
like evolved over time.
Evolved over time. Yep. Some of the things I don't agree with, some of them I do. First off, A, reading that in modern day would fucking suck. That I'll say. But however, I also don't like how they, I don't like modern degrees where they added shit. And they made it where it's like, oh, Freemasonry and its rituals. It's just
disclaimer. I hate the disclaimer, too.
I fucking hate the disclaimer.
Yeah, I can't.
The other thing I can't stand is where they're talking about, you have to be peaceable to your country, and you have to be peaceable to
I'm okay with that.
I'm not okay with it. You want to know why? Because in American society, the freaking Boston Tea Party and all of Sons of Liberty, where most of them are Freemasons, and it got started in St. Andrew's Lodge.
Yeah, and we talked about the fact that that part of the ritual was added after that.
Afterward.
Right? And
that's why I don't like it. Leave it the fuck alone.
Well, there's also, if you listen really close to the wording, they say you will submit to lawful authority, right? It's something like that, like lawful authority.
Man, that's word. That's kind of word salad, though. But I get what you're saying.
No, but I mean, it means like whoever.
But
the
now
lawful
here's
authority
the thing: lawful
is...
authority. What if the United States decided to turn communist and started locking everybody up and declared martial law? It's not lawful, but they're still doing it. And some asshole is going to be like,
something
"Well, the government told us we have to lock down and." You got. I just want to put it out there. I'm not a revolutionary. I'm not trying to. But I'm talking about it in terms of the Masonic ritual.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, don't put it in there. Keep to your traditional values. I think Freemasonry should embrace the fact that the country was started and a revolution was started in a Masonic lodge. We got this freaking ball rolling. It's part of our history. Not even maybe you don't. I mean. I don't think there's a person, I'm sure there is nowadays, but I don't think there's a person on the planet that says, yeah, those guys who did that shit in the Masonic Lodge, they probably shouldn't have threw tea over there and started a whole American Revolution because we wouldn't be who we are today. It's our national identity. Mm. That's why I don't think Freemasonry should put that stupid shit in its ritual. I'm sure I got a call from Shane tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Our Grand Lodge handler will be contacting us directly.
Speaking of which, we need a Grandmaster up here again.
We do.
That's going to be my first gripe.
I think Worshipful Brother Ed might come
Ed
up.
Ed Page will come up.
Yeah, he seems like
Worshipful Brother.
Seems like he would be down.
I'd love to have him up here and chop it up.
No swear.
Great dude. Oh, I'm going to drop some F-bombs. Well, that's going to happen.
I'm sure you will. I'll apologize profusely for your behavior.
I probably will.
That would be cool to have.
But that's one of the things I always... I wish that they... I wish they made it so that if you wanted to do that old ritual, if we ever were to find the old Bane Franklin ritual, there be a special meeting. Doesn't have to be an actual sanctioned degree, if you will, but to perform that as like a play, like a Scottish Rite would do.
Okay.
Dress up, period time, do the whole thing. What are we looking at, Ken?
I'm just kind of scrolling back while you're talking and seeing what some of the comments are that I missed here.
So we're probably going to wrap this up momentarily.
Yeah, I don't want to
get my ass
anybody
going
out in the cold here.
Yeah.
Okay, so we
covered all that. Covered all that.
Sean.
Yep.
And
keep
Matt.
Going. What do you guys consider? Do you guys consider anything from UGLE?
United Grand Lodge of England.
Collector rituals.
I mean, I'm sure they have old ritual in that jurisdiction, but
UGLE is kind of on my shit list right now.
Well, yeah, for you. But I mean, if there's some old ritual,
change your name.
Yeah. So if there's some old ritual that you know you guys used to do in Great Britain that you don't currently, or if there's some like additive stuff that people have written over the years, and you probably have stuff that goes way back too, but just isn't performed anymore and is not in the official, you know, ritual book, that's what we're talking about. So if you guys do have that kind of stuff, definitely let us know.
Yeah.
You don't have to send it to us. I mean, I know that's probably.
What do you say, Mr. Kenny? It's almost 8 o'clock.
Yeah, it's late. We've been over an hour here.
Yep. We'll figure out how to upload this stuff to somewhere.
I will figure it out. That is my pledge to you.
We'll get it on
the
audio, I promise.
It is my pledge to you. I will figure it out.
All right. Well, then, in that case, for the Freemasons Podcast, I am Wright, Worship Brother George Mudry, signing off.
And Worship Brother Ken, signing off.
Thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you again.
Thank you, friends.
Take it out of the ritual!
Take it out!